This free program is paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a member, think about joining with us to help keep free speech alive.
The songs of Townes Van Zandt and Blaze Foley. It's an unforgettable night of singer-songwriters Robert Ellis, John Hogan, Matt Harlan, Harley Wolfe, and John Evans, each taking turns putting their own unique stamp on Townes and Blaze before sharing the stage in a rousing tribute to these two musical masters. KPFT's own Larry Winters emcees this unforgettable evening of Texas music at its best. Proceeds benefit Galveston's Old Quarter Acoustic Cafe's continued recovery from Hurricane Ike. Don't miss Heartworn Highways, the songs of Townes Van Zandt and Blaze Foley, Saturday, June 13th, beginning at 7 p.m. at the Orange Show. For more information or to purchase tickets, call 713-926-6368 or visit orangeshow.org. KPFT Houston.
At 90.1 FM, this is KPFT in Houston. And now, Houston's only primetime radio program dedicated to news and concerns of the lesbi, gay, and transgender identity. This is Queer Voices.
Good evening, this is Jack Polinski.
And Jennifer Renee.
Brian Levinka.
And Glenn Holt. And on this evening's program, Fiona Dawson, the female Grand Marshal of the parade, will join us on a show where we're going to be talking mostly about the Gay Pride Parade. She's a professional event planner, a marketer, a fundraiser, and a leader of volunteers in the Houston community. And after that, we have News Wrap from This Way Out, which is going to have stories about the New Hampshire becoming the sixth U.S. state to open civil marriage to gay and lesbian couples, while Nevada lawmakers override their governor's veto of a domestic partnership bill, but a civil unions bill dies in the Illinois state legislature. And then at 9:40, Katie Caldwell, the executive director of Legacy Community Health Services, will join us. Legacy has been voted organizational grand marshal. It's a full-service, federally qualified health center that provides comprehensive primary health care services to all Houstonians in a culturally sensitive, judgment-free, and confidential environment. And then in our second hour, we have somebody in to talk with us about the Hatch Prom Night coming up this Friday, June 12th. It's their 17th annual Hatch Prom, and the theme is Flashback to the 80s. It's going to be held at 7 p.m. to midnight on Friday, June 12th. That's this coming Friday, in the community room of the GLBT Cultural Center, and that's on the first floor of MCC, and that will be followed by the rest of the feature segment of This Way Out. And, Jack, you have a piece of music that you want to play first.
No.
No?
No. First, we want to give an update of a couple of things that happened today.
Okay.
First of all, the Supreme Court rejected the challenge to Don't Ask, Don't Tell. And, you know, there was questioning about why the Obama administration did not try to fight this. Some people say, well, because maybe this was not a good test case. There's a number of people in the community wondering what the Obama administration is actually doing help us, the GLBT community. A lot of us had worked very hard to get him elected. He won Harris County by a lot of the work of the GLBT community. And, you know, besides issuing a proclamation for Pride this year, which, of course, we haven't seen in the past 8 years, we were really hoping that Don't Ask, Don't Tell, and then possibly some equality legislation be put forward.
Yeah, we were expecting also to at least see the Employment Non-Discrimination Act, which is a fully inclusive one, which basically was the struggle we had a year before last, that Barney Frank had stripped out transgender or gender identity or expression, to have that move forward. And thus far, that's not happening yet.
And with that going on, Cleve Jones yesterday in Salt Lake City Pride asked for a march on Washington planned for October 11th. Now, there's been some talk about this throughout the community, and, you know, it used to be said, well, we spend so much money going to Washington to have these marches, and what does it really accomplish? But, you know, maybe it is about time we had another march.
I'm ready to go. I went in 1993, and I think it's about time to go again.
Well, I think that you can always have the naysayers of whether it's really effective and what does it do, but what it does do, and we can't deny it, is that our community is here. There's a lot of us. We would be there, you know, whether it was a million people on the mall or not. A lot of those people that were on the mall at the inaugural were GLBT people. And a lot of us, myself included, worked very hard to see Obama elected, President Obama, then Senator, elected as president. And it all during that, personally, to me, in answer to my questions, he affirmed and assured us that they would, that his administration would move forward with GLBT issues, the ones we've just been mentioning, and it hasn't happened yet. Now, if we had some indication where their administration is as far as planning, yeah, that'd be nice to know. However, we also delivered two houses to him to do whatever he needed to do, and we were part of it, and it hasn't happened yet.
Yeah, and maybe we ought to try to track down Toby Tobias and have him on the air.
Oh yes.
You know,
yes.
He was one of the people that came to Texas.
Tobias Wolf.
Tobias Wolf? Okay. Yeah, I'm sorry. I got the name wrong.
That's okay. Nah.
He is.
I have his number.
Good. Yes, I'm sure you do. We probably should get him on the air to talk about this. Well, I'm sure last night Brian was watching the NBA playoffs.
It's the Gay World Series.
you mean the Gay World Series?
The Tony Awards.
Oh, so you weren't watching the basketball game last night.
No.
You were watching the real sporting event.
Meticulously watching the drama and all of the festivities unfold last night on Channel 11 for the Tony Awards.
Yes, well, you know, the Tony Awards don't get very good ratings every year. It's past the ratings time anyway, but it's always, you know, a great show because it shows us what live theater's like, especially the musicals that they feature. And I think they did the most incredible job of having the most music on ever.
That was their thing this year. They were doing more musical performances, but the big criticism last night was the sound, and I don't know
it was a mess. They I don't know what happened to CBS, why they couldn't do that better, and it was pretty pathetic
if you haven't had a chance, if you're ever in New York, go see Billy Elliot. It is really that good, and it really deserved to win last night. And that was, if you didn't watch, is the winner for Best Musical of the Show.
Neil Patrick Harris was the host last night, and he sort of joked about, because they spend so much money on bringing these shows on the TV and showing them live, that's why he was on there. Because,
you know, but if you watched the last segment where he did the closing.
He was fabulous.
He was awesome, yeah.
And you know, he had to put that together as the show was going on.
Yeah, I know.
Because he referenced some of the winners.
He was singing to Tonight from West Side Story, and he was singing like, you know, this person won, and da 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 da. You know, it was good. It was wonderful.
Well, and you know, of course, Sir Elton John was one of the creators behind Billy Elliot. Bring It from it's a fabulous film. If you haven't at least seen the film, you do need to see that because it's just about a boy growing up who wants to dance during the time that his parents and basically the whole town were minors, and you know, sort of rednecks in a sense, and he aspires to do this, and he just excels, and you know, they had to have three boys playing that part because it's so, you know, besides the fact that they're young and they you know, they can't spend so much time on the stage, it's just so
it's
grueling.
It's physically demanding. And
you saw that show, right?
I hate to brag, but I've seen it in Broadway and on the West End in London. So.
Oh, go in, brag.
I'm a Broadway person.
Brag.
Yeah. But for the first time last night, three actors were nominated for lead actor in a musical.
Oh, my.
For Billy Elliot, and they won. So it was like a
Yeah, so they all won. All three of them won that award.
That's incredible.
Well, yeah. One of the things that they did do is they had a special Tony for Lifetime Achievement in the theater. And Jerry Herman, who is one of the writers, and he did, if I'm not mistaken, he did in the early days, he did Mame. So Hello, Dolly.
Hello, Dolly, yeah.
But what he was really known for, and he's in his
77,
the Lifetime Achievement Award, was that he did La Cage aux Folles. He helped bring it to a musical. And they didn't necessarily say he was gay on stage, but...
I don't think it had to be spoken.
I don't either, but...
he was nicely tucked and looked prim and proper.
And we're going to go out here with, you know, one of the theme songs from A Causal Fall.
I am what I am. I am my own.
Michael's Living My Life Out Loud. We were trying to play I Am What I Am from La Cage aux Folles, but we had a problem with that, so went and played that one instead.
This is Queer Voices.
And this is Jennifer Renai.
And Brian Lavinka. Yes. And we are doing our special pre-Pride edition of Queer Voices.
We are very honored tonight to have in our studio
the fabulous
one, the only, the
fabulous Fiona Dawson.
Yay!
Who is this year's female Grand Marshal. Welcome, Fiona.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Brian. Thank you, Jennifer.
Well, Fiona, mm-hmm. How did you get elected as Grand Marshal?
Well, she got more votes, silly.
Well, it was like a big campaign. I know there was like a website and everything. And it
was Facebook page.
Yeah, that was a, you know, last year I was nominated, and a year before, not last year. And, you know, you ran a whole campaign. No, not to say that you didn't want it, but that was really unique, and you did some wonderful stuff. Tell us what all you did.
And first of all, I mean, really, the credit has to go to Robin Brown.
Robin, oh my God. She did. She rocks.
She took this whole thing to a whole new level. And, you know, it was an absolute honor to be nominated. And really, Robin became my campaign manager.
There were like posters and it was crazy.
And the whole goal of that really was just to try and create some buzz and awareness about Pride.
Right.
I mean, Pride is a great thing. I mean, it's a wonderful month in our year to celebrate the GLBT community. And we wanted to be able to raise some awareness about Pride and also raise awareness about volunteerism for the GLBT community and then raise some money. And so we had a great fundraiser. And again, you know, Robin really spearheaded this and did all the work. And, you know, we managed to raise a few thousand dollars to support the health fair of the festival at Pride this year.
That was terrific.
So it was great. I mean, it was apparently it's like, I don't know, the first time that one of the Grand Marshal's nominees has put on a fundraising event. And so I think they like the idea and hope, you know, it looks like we're going to be doing it again.
You're raising the bar for future Grand Marshals.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think it's an honor to be nominated, and the reason you're nominated is because of your work, so why not
do it? Absolutely, and you're not nominated for no reason. I mean, you're one of the persons in the community that I am just aspired to. I mean, you do so much, and I'm very inspired by what you do in the community and the different things and how long you've done it for. So.
Well, thank you for telling me that, and I think really, I don't think I really do an awful lot more than many other people. I think a lot of people do a lot more than I do. You just remember me because of the accent. So.
You're just unforgettable.
And the fact is you're an American citizen.
I am. I'm in a voting American citizen. I actually have less rights now as a voting citizen than I did as a green card holder. But that's okay. We'll change that, won't we?
Yes.
Yeah.
What have you been doing now since you were elected?
Yeah.
And
since you've been crowned.
When you were
christened.
Well, a lot of people keep asking me what I'm going to wear.
Oh my God,
do you want to give us the secret?
Let's unveil.
I don't think we can have the unveiling right now.
Don't worry
about
it.
Yeah.
So you're going to have one of those fancy convertibles at the front.
I believe I am. Yes. I'm hoping it's going to be red. I haven't put in a request yet, but
so that would
obviously
mean
a red dress.
Probably wear red also.
Red does happen to be my favorite color.
Oh,
I've seen you in red, and you look great. And I'm a gay man, so for me to notice, you know, it's
they even
it's
had a song about Lady in Red.
Exactly,
that was all about Fiona.
Yes.
So when did you move here, Fiona?
In 2000, August 2000. I've been here nearly 9 years. I can't believe
my.
It. It's incredible.
Why did you move here? What brought you to here?
Well, my whole story is I came here because I married a man.
Oh, my God.
I know.
Oh, my God. Heaven forbid.
Mistake number one, right?
Oh, little did he know.
It's okay. We love you. Anyway.
Yeah, little did he know. Oh, well.
Surprise.
Bless his heart. Yeah. But no, that's how I came here. And then after I got divorced and came out, I decided to stay because it's hot and cheap. Of course, so many people have heard me say that. I'm going to have to change my story soon. It's good. But Houston is wonderful. And England is cold and expensive. And
it's affordable. Houston is affordable. Yeah.
And we're cheap, too. go ahead.
In the most tasteful of ways.
Yes, exactly. We're tastefully cheap.
Good recover. That was an excellent recovery. I was interested. You did volunteer work in Bangladesh?
Bangladesh, yes.
How did you get... I mean, what was the circumstances about that?
Well, all my life, I've always wanted to volunteer and do what I can to put positive things in the world and make things a little bit better for people.
Yeah.
And I really wanted to go to the third world from a young age as well. And so after I graduated university, I decided that I wanted to go and live and work in a third world country. And it ended up being Bangladesh because I was raised Catholic. I call myself a recovering Catholic now.
Oh, my gosh, me too.
Through my church, there was an incredible woman called Carmela Riddell who, after the floods in 1971,
right.
started a grassroots charity to raise money for this area in Bangladesh to regenerate the area and to build schools and hospitals and clinics. And so I'd known her all my life. She'd known me since I was a baby. And so it was just only natural that I would go and help support this cause because my hometown in England, which is called Boston in England, it's a very small rural place. Mm-hmm. They've been raising money to support this area in Bangladesh now for coming on, 35 years. And so after graduating university, I went out there for 6.5 months and I lived in a mud hut in the jungle in the middle of nowhere and taught English to tribal people. And
Did you learn the native language?
No, I didn't. I learned a few sayings.
Where's the bathroom?
and asking for a cup of tea and oh my god, there's a snake, get in there.
I like a spot of tea. Oh no, there's a snake.
But
I've known you here since 2000 here in Houston. It's just difficult for me to wrap my head around you in a mud hut in Bangladesh.
And
that's not admirable that you did that, but I just can't see.
I went with one mascara and one lipstick.
Oh my gosh.
And I wore, like, at that time I was still wearing contact lenses and I didn't take my contacts. I took glasses. And so, I mean, I had no makeup, you know. Very as natural as you get, you know. I wore Doc Martin sandals every day.
Oh my gosh.
And I think Fiona kind of goes by the lipstick lesbian, if
uh-huh.
I could kind of
you
call
can
you
put
that.
Me in that box.
I think
yes.
You're pretty much the textbook lipstick lesbian. So to be out in the jungle without any mascara
is a pretty big deal.
So yeah. in Houston,
but you know, she did take her lipstick.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, mascara and lipstick. There I mean, you can get by.
Okay, so 2000. You arrive in Houston.
Yeah.
You discover that you're not straight.
Well, it took a couple of years, actually.
Okay.
But
how did you get started in volunteering here in Houston?
Well, really, since coming here, for the first 6 years, I worked in the nonprofit sector.
Mm-hmm.
So I worked for Casa Reyes Branza, helps abuse, neglected, HIV-positive children. I worked at the Houston Area Women's Center for survivors of domestic and sexual violence. And then I worked at Baring Omega Community Services for 3 years. And really, the experience at Baring Omega was the one that really kind of solidified my involvement into the GLBT community.
Mm-hmm.
Because, of course, working for HIV/AIDS, you're going to be, you know, you go to a lot of fundraising
yes.
events that are related to GLBT community. So that's when I started to build a network of friends and other organizations in the GLBT community. And then I was also asked to chair the HRC dinner in 2006. And
mm-hmm.
so that was then my entree into the human rights campaign. And it took off from there. And, you know, I started working at Baring Omega October of 2003. And I left my husband and came out in April of 2004.
Mm.
A couple of other people had come out who had also worked in the same office. So for a while, we wondered if it was something in the water.
Was it in the tea? It was in the tea, wasn't it?
But I think we've managed to dispel that myth since then. I mean, there's been a few people that have not come out. But it's, you know, so that's really how I got involved. And it just kind of takes off because, you know, Houston, as I say, is like such a welcoming, diverse, warm, friendly, wonderful city, and mm-hmm. especially the GLBT community. And, you know, living and working in the heart of Montrose is just fabulous.
Absolutely. who better to represent us in the parade?
Absolutely.
And, a Brit? It's kind of funny, isn't it?
It doesn't matter. You're a Houstonian.
We are a Houstonian.
That's true.
Are you kidding?
And, I'm a U.S. citizen, too.
You're a U.S. citizen, and you got to vote.
Mm-hmm.
And,
I did.
You know, and that was very inspirational. You really cared about wanting to be a citizen and went through all the hoops that you have to do.
Yeah.
And I remember you talking about going and being sworn in as a citizen and passing a test, which, you know, is a challenge for all us natives.
It's quite an emotional experience. Yeah, it wasn't until I had to learn the answers to those 100 questions and then actually go through the whole interview process.
How did it feel?
It felt, oh my gosh, I wish words would quickly come to mind. It really felt very emotional, and it really forced you to reflect on what is the United States. And I think very easy it was to take the United States for granted. And I know that Europeans can often look down on America and give us a bad rap. And I think that by having to actually look at the Constitution and look at the reasons why this country was created, it really comes down to diversity and the things that we're all passionate about.
Mm-hmm.
And so it really reminded me of why I'm so passionate about the volunteer work that I do, and how I believe that this country was founded on wonderful principles that should be carried all the way through, and we need to keep doing what we're doing to get there. And I think going through immigration actually kind of validated and reminded me as to why it's important to keep doing this.
Well said.
Well said. I was going to make a comment, and I don't want to.
I mean, and
she said it all right there.
Yeah, and it shows how passionate you are now about the further equality progress that we're all working towards.
We will get there.
We'll get there, and I think so too. For a long time, I thought not in my lifetime, but now I do.
Yeah.
I think
we will get
possible.
There, and I know it's
things are going very quickly now. I think.
I mean, yeah, we've certainly seen movements across the states with the marriage. Well, I can't remember who said it, but I heard somewhere, you know, this marriage train has left the station. And
I think it was Gavin Newsom.
Was it?
I don't know.
He's a pretty cool guy as well.
I love him.
Yeah,
well, the naysayers will still put up their fights along the way. And well, there'll be skirmishes along the way, but history is on our side.
And there's momentum, for sure.
There is. I mean, and being negative, does that change anything? No. Doesn't, you know, it's not going to make anything happen any quicker, so we might as well just stay positive.
Well, exactly.
That's a great point.
Yeah. And not to digress down to talk about that, but what happens is you have now 6 states that have marriage, and it won't take but a few years when we find out through actual practice that the world didn't come to an end.
Exactly.
The states didn't collapse. Mm-hmm. All of the naysayers who frighten people with their boogeyman stories.
Mm-hmm. And their videos.
And their videos. And it doesn't happen.
And that's thunderstorms.
Oh, yes. And if it doesn't happen, then you go, well, hey, nothing happened.
Exactly.
Yeah. And then we can just nip it in the bud right there with the federal change.
Well,
next.
Well, the gay marriage, they always claim that gay marriage is the greatest, negative toward
evil for society.
Evil,
no society
evil.
Will stand.
Well, it's the evil and the death knell to marriage. Mm-hmm. And the fact is that most danger to marriage in America are heterosexual divorces.
Right.
Okay. So,
right.
You know, enough
and
said
I contributed to that. So
you did. So did I.
So you're on that side now. You're coming over on this side. You're just trying to destroy marriage for everybody.
Yes. She was merely cleaning up her act.
There you go.
It certainly was.
She was
I was like, what? Yeah.
You're having fun, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Tell me about
Every
some of the stuff you're doing.
Well, Pride, I mean, we're in June. It's party month of, you know, the year, except for July, of course, you know, because I'm a big Leo and it's my birthday. And I think you're a Leo, aren't you, Jennifer? Yeah, so, you know, getting excited for Pride and looking forward to throwing beads and trying to decide what glittery dress I'm going to put on.
Oh, it's going to be fabulous.
We just had the HRC dinner last month, which was wonderful.
Fantastic.
And,
yes, it was.
A lot of work, and so it's great to achieve another one.
It was a wonderful, wonderful event. I had the best time. And
good.
And Christine Baranski was awesome.
Oh, I was about to say, she was just awesome.
She was. And
whose idea was her?
To be honest, I don't
know. It was
know
you, right?
One. No, I can't claim that one. Sorry. I was a table captain co-chair, but there were four gala chairs, and so it's really the gala chairs that organised the whole programme and put all that event on together.
You know, and it went by so quickly. I mean, it was very well run, and it just kind of was smooth, so kudos to them.
Yep, it did a fabulous job. And then, in fact, tonight we had a Federal Club committee meeting. Mm-hmm. So I co-chair Federal Club for HRC, and so we've just been talking about what we're going to be doing, and so we're having a pre-parade party in Montrose on the 27th at someone's home on Hazard and Hazard and Harold. So we'll have HRC headquarters there, and then in July we're going to go do a volunteer project. Federal Club members and anyone else who wants to join us are
invited. Federal Club is part of HRC.
It is part of
Human
HRC.
Rights Campaign.
Human Rights Campaign.
And next week we're going to have Jill Salmonis on.
Brilliant.
Yes.
Love Jill.
We'll be talking to him next week.
That is so cool.
So tune in next week for him. Yeah.
Well, we've been talking to the
fabulous female Grand Marshal, Fiona Dawson.
Yes. And it's been a delight. I want to acknowledge you for all of the wonderful things you do. And I think that our community picked just the right person.
Inspirational.
The female portion of it.
I want to say
for Grand Marshal.
Huge, huge thank you to all of my friends, including you, Jennifer and Brian, and everybody who voted, and everybody I know. And I really appreciate everyone having me here in Houston. Thank you.
Please come out and check her out June 27th. It'll be dark, and she'll be the glittery one at the front of the parade.
Yes. And this is Queer Voices.
Thank you.
I'm Rick Watts.
And I'm Tanya Kane Perry.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting the lesbian and gay community for the week ending June 6th, 2009. New Hampshire this week became the sixth U.S. state to open civil marriage to same-gender couples. Democratic Governor John Lynch signed the bill into law after the state House and Senate approved compromise language to strengthen protections for religious institutions that refuse to wed or recognize lesbian and gay couples. The governor had demanded the additional language before he would sign the measure. Same-gender couples can begin marrying in New Hampshire on January 1st. Gay and lesbian couples will be able to marry in the state of Vermont in September. They can already do so in Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Iowa. Opponents in Maine are threatening a public referendum to overturn the marriage equality law there. The U.S. federal government, however, does not recognize same-gender civil marriages in any state.
By the minimum two-thirds margins required, Nevada's legislature voted on May 30th and 31st to override Republican Governor Jim Gibbons' veto of a domestic partnership bill. The vote was 28-14 in the Assembly. In the Senate, 10 Democrats and 4 Republicans voted for the override, and 5 Republicans and 2 Democrats voted against it. The new law extends nearly all state-level rights and obligations of marriage to both same-gender and heterosexual registered domestic partners. Gibbons had claimed the bill violated a 2002 state constitutional amendment that defines marriage as between a man and a woman. He also argued that a gay or lesbian couple could sign private contracts if they desired the protections of marriage for their relationship.
A civil unions bill in the state of Illinois, however, died quietly this week as the legislative session came to an end. The bill, titled the Religious Freedom Protection and Civil Union Act, specified that religious bodies would not be required to recognize the unions. The measure would have extended virtually all the state rights of marriage to both same-gender and heterosexual couples. While a House panel approved the bill in March, it went no further. Representative David Rice, who had sponsored a number of failed bills to constitutionally ban same-gender marriage, reportedly added several financial amendments to the measure, which slowed its progress in the House.
But a lesbian couple legally married on the Coquille Indian Reservation near Coos Bay, Oregon, in late May. It was believed to be the first such marriage in the U.S. Kitson Branting and Jenny Branting, each in her late 20s, tied the knot in a Coquille meeting hall under a tribal marriage equality law passed last year, but just now taking effect. Their marriage will not be recognized in the state of Oregon or by the U.S. federal government, but it will be legal on the property of the tribe, which is a sovereign nation.
Following up on our report last week, the newly formed group behind a lawsuit challenging California's Proposition 8 in U.S. federal court, the American Foundation for Equal Rights, announced its board of directors this week. They include Academy Award-winning Milk screenwriter Dustin Lance Black, movie director Rob Reiner and his wife Michelle Singer Reiner, and Bruce Cohen, the producer of the gay-themed film American Beauty. Chad Griffin, a former communications staffer in the Clinton administration, serves as board president. Attorneys Theodore B. Olson and David Boyce filed suit in federal court last week on behalf of two California same-gender couples who were denied marriage licenses by the state. Olson and Boyce argued opposing sides in the Bush v. Gore elections case before the U.S. Supreme Court in 2000. But they're heading up the new rights group's lawsuit together and say they believe it will eventually be heard by the same court. But virtually every U.S. LGBT advocacy group has expressed deep reservations about the lawsuit. They fear a loss in the Supreme Court could set back marriage equality efforts in the country for decades.
The Spanish Supreme Court has ruled that judges in lower courts or in local town halls are required to marry gay and lesbian couples. It said members of the judiciary are subject to anti-discrimination laws just like everyone else in Spain. According to a report at typicallyspanish.com, a magistrate in Sagunto, Valencia, had filed an appeal with the High Court, saying that he did not want to conduct such ceremonies on religious grounds. The General Council for Judicial Power, the body that oversees the judiciary in Spain, has already ruled that judges can't refuse to marry same-gender couples. Spain equalized its marriage laws in 2005.
Centrelink, the Australian government's social benefits agency, will begin to treat same-gender de facto couples the same as heterosexual married couples on July 1st. Centrelink assistance includes health care, prescription drugs, unemployment payments, disaster aid, rent subsidies, and a wide range of other benefits and welfare programs. Even though the move is a step toward equality, it also will result in a loss of benefits for some couples who previously qualified based on their individual incomes. And while same-gender couples enjoy limited forms of legal recognition in some states, Australian federal law defines marriage as exclusively heterosexual, and the government has rejected proposals for a national civil unions law.
The Hong Kong government promised this week to amend its domestic violence ordinance to include gay and lesbian couples so as to provide them, the announcement said, with additional civil remedies on top of the current criminal legislative framework. The government last August extended the scope of the law to include former heterosexual spouses, former heterosexual cohabitants, and other immediate and extended family members. The inclusion of same-gender couples was one of the demands of LGBT activists during a recent demonstration in the city. Following formal consultations to begin later this month, the new laws on domestic violence will remove all references to marriage or gender and refer instead to cohabitation partnerships. In the same announcement, however, the government stressed that Hong Kong will continue to refuse recognition to same-gender marriages or similar relationships. It further specified that domestic violence and cohabitation relationships violence are two different categories with no interrelationship.
The Scottish Parliament this week passed legislation to enhance sentencing for hate-motivated crimes committed against LGBT and disabled people. The vote follows the adoption of similar legislation in England and Wales. The Offences, Aggravation by Prejudice, Scotland Bill adds perceived or actual sexual orientation, gender identity, or disability to existing bias crime laws covering race and religion. Courts must consider the motivation for the offense, which could then result in a more severe sentence.
Meanwhile, the General Assembly of the Church of Scotland voted 326 to 267 last week to uphold the appointment of a partnered gay minister to a parish in Aberdeen. The Reverend Scott Rennie was appointed a year ago, but had been unable to assume his duties as opponents sought to block the move. At the same time, the General Assembly ordered a moratorium on the appointment of any more gay ministers until a church commission studies the issue and reports back in 2011. Church ministers opposed to Rennie's placement have vowed to withhold collection plate funds from the National Church in protest. The Church of Scotland, the Kirk, is Presbyterian and counts 14% of Scots as members, though 42% of the population named it as their denomination in the 2001 census. The General Assembly of the 2.3 million member Presbyterian Church USA defeated a motion in April to allow open gays and lesbians to serve in the clergy, though it was reportedly by a narrower margin than for similar efforts in previous years.
The Church of Sweden has appointed a lesbian as the Bishop of Stockholm. Eva Brunner, who is in a registered partnership, is believed to be the world's first lesbian bishop. The 55-year-old has a 3-year-old son with her partner, Gunilla Linden, who is herself a priest. Brunner won the post by a 413 to 365 vote and will succeed Bishop Carolyn Crook, who plans to retire in November. A gender-neutral marriage law in Sweden came into force on May 1st, allowing same-gender couples to marry in religious or civil ceremonies. The Church of Sweden, which is Lutheran, had blessed lesbian and gay civil partnerships, which were in force before the marriage equality law was passed. The Church supported the new law, but said it will not formally decide whether to perform same-gender marriage ceremonies until its conclave in October.
And finally, after a 7-year absence, India's only LGBT publication, Bombay Dost, is back. The then underground English language magazine, the title means Bombay Friends, stopped publishing after 12 years when it ran out of money in 2002. It's reemerged as a twice-yearly glossy after securing 3 years of major funding from the United Nations Development Program. Bollywood actress and former Miss India, Selena Jaitley, has also provided funding and offered her vocal support, although she says she's received hate mail for doing so. Bombay Dost is now available in bookstores and on newsstands across India and internationally through its website, bombaydost.in.co. In its earlier incarnation, the magazine was generally sold only by roadside vendors and was often wrapped in plain brown paper. The relaunched 56-page glossy includes one beefcake shot of Mr. Gay India in swimming trunks, but is otherwise filled with LGBT news and analysis, along with book and art reviews. The next issue will come out in October. British colonial-era laws against consensual adult same-gender sex are still on the books in India, but a more vocal LGBT community has become increasingly visible. A first-ever Pride March was held last year in the capital of New Delhi, and the country's highest court is considering a challenge to those laws criminalizing sex against the order of nature. Editor Vikram Pukan told Advocate.com via email that, "We're keeping our fingers crossed. We want a cover to read, Freedom at Last."
Best news wrap for the week ending June 6, 2009. Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community.
News Wrap is written by Greg Gordon and recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles. For This Way Out, I'm Tanya Kane Perry.
And I'm Rick Watts.
And we will have more from This Way Out later in the program. This is Queer Voices.
Well, continuing with the All Pride, All the Time segment that we're doing here on Queer Voices, it is Pride Month, and we now have the Grand Marshal Organization, which is Legacy Community Health Service, which used to be known as the Montrose Clinic.
Correct.
And what was the reason why you changed the name? Besides the confusion with the counseling center that even I got confused with, and I should know better.
Well, everybody got confused with the counseling center, but the main reason we changed the name is when we merged with the assistance fund. And in 2000 we merged with Body Positive. So really the agency was a conglomeration of three different agencies. So the boards thought it was a time now to change the name. So they chose Legacy to honor everything that all three agencies were in the past, and to honor the people that are working with us now to leave the legacy for the community in the future.
And we're talking to Katie Caldwell, who's the executive director of Legacy. And so exactly what you all do?
Well, we are your community health center. We provide preventive and primary health care to anybody, regardless of their ability to pay, and anybody who comes in the door, regardless of their age, gender identity, sexual orientation, whoever, whatever, you can come in and get health care.
And that includes people who have insurance and don't have insurance?
People who have insurance, people who don't have insurance, anybody who needs health care, preventive or primary care, we're there for you.
And you specialize in certain care?
We do. We're, again, primary care, but we do have a specialty in HIV, and we have a specialty in the GLBT community.
And how has that changed? And, of course, that's not a simple answer, I know, but how much has HIV changed in the past, let's just say, 10 years?
Oh, in the past 10 years it's changed, even with because the even though the heart and all of the as we refer to, euphemistically refer to it as the drug cocktail has changed. It's changed dramatically over the years. When people used to have to take 10, 15 pills a day, now they're reformulated down to one. We're seeing people still living longer, good quality lives, being very productive, and it's changed radically. We're still seeing too many people getting infected. We're still seeing too many young people, too many people my age bracket in their 50s getting infected. And it's still unfortunate, but we're there for you. We try to help you learn how to prevent it, but we're there for you if you get it.
Why do you think the age group 50s that why do you think that's going up?
There's some anecdotal information. I think there are a couple of studies going on right now, but primarily it's people who maybe have been in a relationship for a long time, get divorced, separated, and are back out in the dating world again, not realizing that a lot of the HIV messages that a lot of their peer group have heard for years. Either they didn't think it meant it wasn't for them because they were partnered at that time. So we're seeing that aspect of it. The younger kids, it's still they're indestructible and invincible. But I think people in my age bracket, and some of it I think is you're just tired. We've heard all this and we've all lived it, and you let your guard down.
Well, at the same time, though, I think that we're hearing less and less about it. Because it's more of a manageable disease. But I think a lot of the younger generation don't think that affects them. Besides the fact that they're indestructible, they also don't think it affects them.
Definitely doesn't. That's definitely there. They think, nobody I know has it. And they didn't live through what a lot of us lived through. So they don't think about it. They aren't weary. But they're also indestructible. And they're very sexually active.
Well, there was a really interesting...
I remember those days.
Yeah.
We all do.
It was a time ago.
There was a really interesting piece on NPR yesterday with Brenda Wilson, who's like their health reporter, talking about the straight community now dealing more with hookups than they are with dating. Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, this is deja vu in the gay community, where we used to do that a lot, too. Mm-hmm. And it's still very much prevalent, especially now with the Internet. The recreational drugs, is that still very much a problem in the GLBT community?
Well, recreational drugs are an issue in every community, not just the GLBT community, but definitely are in the GLBT community.
And they're a lot stronger than they used to be.
I'm told. So I'm told. And they're different. They're different than they were, but the same old ones that were around when, 50 years ago, even for when our parents were all young, they're still out there. And that definitely plays a factor in letting your guard down, mm-hmm. and what you do when you hook up.
Yeah, if you can't remember what happened last night, it's awfully hard to be careful.
It is.
With healthcare being such an issue throughout the entire community in this country, how difficult is it for Legacy to get funded?
Well, we're very fortunate in that we became a federally qualified health center a few years ago.
And does that mean?
It means that we applied for a designation to serve anyone who comes into our facility in a specific service territory. And we receive a grant for $650,000 to do that. And we receive what's called a wraparound rate for anybody with Medicare and Medicaid, meaning we get an enhanced Medicare and Medicaid rate. And with that enhanced rate and the grant funding, we're supposed to serve, and we do serve, more people who are uninsured. And we have, and there is an expectation of the federal government that we do serve more uninsured than we did before we got the grant, which, unfortunately, there's way more uninsured now than there was 5 years ago. And we are serving more people. So it also gives us the benefit of being able to purchase medications for people at a deeply discounted rate, which we then can provide to our clients at a very deeply discounted rate.
Now, you were talking about HIV, but what are some of the other ailments that are coming in, the people that are uninsured? As simple as a cold, a flu?
A cold, the flu, diabetes, hypertension, you name it, we've seen it. Oh, the oldies
I'm sure
but
there
goodies.
Are a few of those.
Syphilis, gonorrhea, chlamydia, you name it, we see it. We also get people coming in thinking they had swine flu. We've had people coming in who have the plain old garden variety flu, and anything else that they feel that they've got. We also have an eye clinic, so we see people for just their regular vision exams. We do acupuncture, so we have people who come in with back ailments and any other ailments that they believe acupuncture can help.
What's the limit on your care? I mean, if someone comes in really ill with something, do you pass them on to
Depends.
A medical facility?
Sometimes we have to, because we don't have an MRI. We can't help people with that. If they need dialysis, we have to pass them on to somebody else. If they have severe heart problems, we have to pass them on to the, in many cases, most of the time it's the hospital district, because we're equipped to do general primary care. We're not equipped to do heavy specialty care.
Well, if that happens, sort of open the door for them to the other facilities?
We do. We're able to do that. We have a memorandum of understanding with the Harris County Hospital District, and we try our best. We work with them, with a case manager at the hospital district, to help expedite getting them into the specialty clinics.
Oh, okay.
But the specialty clinics at the Harris County Hospital District are overloaded also, so it's still difficult.
We're talking to Katie Caldwell, who's executive director of the Legacy Community Health Services. How does a person get into your system? We just walk in the door?
You can either walk in the door or you can at 215 Westheimer, we will take you in if on a walk-in, or you can call for an appointment for one of our, we do take appointments, so either way. If you walk in, it may take you a little longer to be seen than if you call and get an appointment. Many times you get an appointment the same day. That's what we try to do. Sometimes for certain services, it's much more difficult to get, it's a little more difficult to get appointments.
Now, how would I find out more information?
Well, you can call 713-830-3000, or you can look us up on the web at www.legacycommunityhealth.org.
Right. Now, you've been involved with Legacy for quite a while.
I have been. Yeah. I've been the executive director for 13 years, and before that I was a volunteer and on the board.
And
so I've been involved since the mid-80s.
Right, so it has changed a lot, hasn't
it? Whole lot. From when I first started, it was the Little Yellow House on Richmond, and that was, I think, the third location of the clinic. And I volunteered as an HIV counselor there, and back in the late 80s, and then went on the board, and it was very exciting when we moved to our location at 215 Westheimer.
And probably thought you'd never outgrow that.
No, I never thought we'd outgrow that one, and we have outgrown that one, and we have three other locations, and we're getting ready to combine those three locations into a new facility at 1415 California. We hope to break ground this summer on that.
And if that address sounds familiar, it used to be the Sonoma
Restaurant,
exactly. And then later bar, and
where Pride had their offices.
Yes,
Pride
had their offices. Very wonderful location, which is like a block off West. That's what's really nice is you're right on Westheimer, which is a major bus route.
Yes, so we're on a major bus route now, and we'll be on that same major bus route just a couple of blocks down. So right, literally around the corner from the bus,
and plenty of parking if you have
and
a vehicle.
Yes, right now we don't have plenty of parking. It's a real challenge.
Oh, I've gone over
there. We all have challenges parking. Yeah.
Well, and I like the fact that your staff has to park on the street to try to save those parking spaces.
That's what we try to do.
So now, being nominated, being elected, and elected by the community of being the organizational grand marshal for Pride 2009, you're going to have a float this year?
We are going to have a float. Our board has underwritten our float this year. It's the first time the agency's ever had a float in the parade. We usually just have a walking unit. So we're very excited to have our float this year.
One other thing I want to touch with is that, you know, you still do HIV testing.
We absolutely do HIV
and
testing.
That's probably what you're best,
that's
one of the best.
Well, actually, yeah. That's probably what we're best known for is and, that in our STD clinic.
How is it done now? I mean, you used to have to wait 2 weeks. Is that?
No, we have various options now. We have the 20-minute test that you can get. Either we do the rapid test, both at our clinic at 215 Westheimer and at lots of locations around the community, and you can get your results in 20 minutes. You can do the old-fashioned kind, but the old-fashioned kind now takes about a week, so which is the old-fashioned kind's a blood draw.
And but most importantly, you also do counseling when
we do. We do pre and post-test counseling. So we counsel you before you get the test, and we counsel you whether you're negative or positive when you get the test. And if you're positive, we can link you immediately into care at our facility.
Great. Katie Caldwell is Executive Director of Legacy Health Community Health Services, and they'll be right up front this year, being the organizational grand marshal of the parade, and we look forward to seeing you that evening.
Thank you very much for having me, and we really want to thank everybody in the community for supporting us as organizational grand marshal this year.
Thank you for being on.
And you're listening to Queer Voices.
Propagators and they hate you. Ignorant and hateful because they don't understand us. Ban us from living our lives. Second class citizen, give them this right. Bash me, I bash you back. You're messing with the wrong fact, you're about to get checked. A new generation, we taking our rights. Taking the gay population to new heights. Watch out now, girly boy can fight. What's the matter, son? Our rhymes too tight. You can try to diss, but you know the consequences. Payback. I'm the Michael Jordan of the gay rap. Take that, chop my style. Top or bottom, I'm versatile. Two men holding hands, walking down the block. Don't be jealous, cause we're so damn hot.
Come on, let me hear it loud. Young and proud. Stand up for your rights, everybody get down. Let me hear it loud. Young and proud. Stand up for our rights, and we march to the sound. Let me hear it loud. Young and proud. Stand up for your rights, everybody get down. Let me hear it loud. For our rights, and we march to the sound.
A brand new generation taking over. Freedom fighters, some call us soldiers. Unity between you and I. Sick of being a punchline and crucified. Try to tear us down, but still we rise. I'm sick of the games, I'm sick of the lies. From the gay ghettos to the Malibu mansions, they can't keep us down, cause we keep on dancing. Even got the queens switch from disco. Got them all dancing from Greenwich to Frisco. Latino, say, Papi, Chulo, Loco. Number one, homo, a logo, let's go.
Let me hear it loud, young and proud. Stand up for your rights, everybody get down. Let me hear it loud, young and proud. Stand up for our rights and we march to the sound. Let me hear it loud, young and proud. Stand up for your rights, everybody get down. Let me hear it loud, young and proud. Stand up for our rights and we march to the sound.
A new generation, we taking our rights. Taking the gay population to new heights. From the gay ghettos to the Malibu mansions. They can't keep us down cause we keep on dancing. Stick to the games, stick to the lies. Sick of being a punchline and crucified. Bash me, mash me, I bash you back. You messing with the wrong fag, you about to get jacked. A new generation, we taking our rights. Taking the gay population to new heights. From the gay ghettos to the Malibu mansions. They can't keep us down cause we keep on dancing. Sick to the games, sick to the lies. Sick of being a punchline and crucified. Bash me, mash me, I bash you back. You messing with the wrong fag, you about to get jacked.
Let me hear it loud, young and proud. Stand up for your rights, everybody get down. Let me hear it loud, young and proud. Stand up for our rights and we march to the sound. Let me hear it loud, young and proud. Stand up for your rights, everybody get down. Let me hear it loud, young and proud. Stand up for our rights and we march to the sound. Let me hear it loud, young and proud. Young and proud, young and proud.
In keeping with our theme this evening of gay pride coming up at the end of June, that was Captain Magic, Young, Gay, and Proud. And Captain Magic, by the way, spells his name M-A-J-I-C. M-A-G-I-K. Captain Magic, Young, Gay, and Proud. And coming up next at the top of the second hour, Brad Odom, the president of Pride Houston.
Hi, this is Sonali Kohatkar. The Pacifica Radio Archives is the oldest collection of public radio programming in the United States. Within its walls, you'll find a vast collection of voices like Malcolm X, Noam Chomsky, Langston Hughes, Alice Walker, Paul Robeson, Howard Zinn, Gore Vidal, June Jordan, James Baldwin, Jermaine Greer, and many, many others. Visit the new user-friendly website at www.pacificaradioarchives.org, where you can hear samples from our collection in our new Listening Salon section. And you can now order your favorite programs on CD and cassette. Once again, that's www.pacificaradioarchives.org. This is Sonali Kohatkar for the Pacifica Radio Archives.
This is Avi O'Dun of The Last Poets, inviting you to attend Amandala Productions' Blue Notes Trio, Jazz, Poetry, and Visual Art at Miller Theater on Saturday, June 13th at 8 p.m., featuring myself, Avi O'Dun of The Last Poets, and Inertia and Global Movement. This is a free event for the entire family. Once again, it is on Saturday, June 13th at 8 p.m., being held at Miller Theater. Hope to see you there. You're listening to KPFT Tuesday.
At 90.1 FM, this is KPFT Houston. Now, more of Queer Voices with Jack Belinsky and the entire Queer Voices crew.
Hey! Sing if you're glad to be gay. Sing if you're happy. This way.
Well, it's June, and June means two things. One, it means hurricane season, and the other thing, it means pride.
And hopefully they don't happen at the same time.
No, no. Well, the parade has never been rained out, and so far, so good.
No, it may rain at some point during the day, but no one on the parade.
And it has been, like, up to an hour before the parade, or the day after the parade. We've had downpours, but somehow, one year it rained on the parade, but the parade was already in progress, and it was just sort of like humidity. We just dealt with it.
You know, God doesn't want rain on any of our gay events, because even during Bunnies, it rained all morning, and then the clouds parted, and the sun shone, and, you know, so it'll be the same for Pride, I think.
So what is the theme this year?
Out for Justice.
Wait, who are we talking to?
We're talking to Brad Odom, who is president of Pride Houston, which is the nonprofit organization that is sort of has the over Pride. I mean, Pride is the big thing that we have every year is the parade, and now it's sort of a tradition now to have the festival.
Yes, and we are honored to be able to pull it all together for the community, and of course, you know, a big festival and a big parade wouldn't be anything without all the people entering and participating. So really, we just are an honorary organization that gets to build the shell for a great event and a great day.
And this is the 40th year since Stonewall.
It is.
So it's the 40th anniversary.
We weren't alive when that happened, were we, Brad?
No.
We hear stories of it. So
I can tell you some of the history. But and for Houston, this is, what, the 31st year?
It is.
Okay. So what do we have in store this year? What is different, more exciting, bigger, better? Or in most cases, are we still doing?
Well, first of all,
I don't mean that about because so many traditions are just, you know, going down. Miss Camp America is no longer with us. Just to be able to continue a tradition is, first of all, great.
And such a huge production, you know, that costs money, and, you know, in this economy, so.
keep it going is awesome.
And we've been blessed to be able to pull together the finances again this year to make it comfortable and successful and have a nice event for the community. Of course, first of all, it is Saturday, June 27th, as usual, so that's something that's the same.
Why is it that day, people ask?
That's the commemoration of Stonewall.
Yes, it's a history lesson.
This will be the 40th.
Yes.
And we've kept it on that date, and we've kept it here in Montrose, being our history and our community, and a place that we all love and cherish. Which I have to say, just an aside, that special on Channel 8 about our community was just wonderful, and we were proud to participate in providing some footage for that.
It was awesome seeing the historical footage and hearing our community fathers and leaders talk about how it used to be and how it's changed, but not in necessarily a bad way. So check it out. It was on Channel 8, Montrose, Texas, The Transition of a Neighborhood.
So Saturday, June 27th, the festival is going to kick off at 11 a.m. and will go until 7 p.m. That's located on the streets of Commonwealth and Yoakum, on south side of Westheimer. And then at 8:45, the parade's actually going to kick off. It's of course, on Westheimer. And it starts out up at Dunleavy and runs down to Crocker. Of course, the main stage and the pinnacle is between the areas of Waugh and Montrose.
And so, being the economy is, we're having trouble with the economy. How are the entries this year?
Entries are still fairly strong. We've had a good, strong turnout. I don't have a real peg on the exact numbers because so many, as usual, come in right in June, and so I know that we were tracking right along to our normal number of a little over 100, and we're expecting to be a little bit less than that. Some of the politicians are grouping together and actually putting in a joint entry.
That's good.
And so that's going to cut down on a few of the entries.
And floats? We expect floats this year?
We expect floats. We expect some of our big sponsors, big corporate entries that have always been very creative are back again, so we expect to see those. And a lot of the nonprofit organizations that are so creative and put on some great floats. So we do expect the production value to be high again, as usual.
And what about drag queens and shirtless men?
Oh, I'm sure we'll have plenty of that. Being the theme that's out for justice, there's sort of two sides to that. One is the political arena, but definitely if you look at the logo, it's sort of a throw out to the Justice League and other superheroes. Wonder Woman, yeah. So maybe some spandex, maybe some tight things on cute people.
Well, yeah, in Houston, spandex becomes liquid skin after a while.
Some of the things that are unique or different, there's actually a family retreat zone and an area. It's located in front of copy.com. It's the only alcohol-free space, but it's sponsored by Pride and actually Fuse, which is a fusion beverage, if you've ever had Fuse. They're one of our great sponsors this year. It's open to all parade goers. We do ask the people in that area plan not to be consuming alcoholic beverages, but if you want to bring your kids and make it more of a family-friendly environment, that area is designated for you. And there's actually bleachers there. There's one set of bleachers there that's open to the public. It's probably the only free area that's going to be designated and encouraged that's a family area.
So come early.
And if you're looking at your Outsmart, your official guide to Pride this year.
And so, yes, Outsmart is the official guide this year.
Yes.
There's a great map on page 99, I was going to say.
As at least the last several years, while I've been with Pride, we've always had a separate magazine. We've used the same distributor that Outsmart used and used all the same distribution points. And as I sat down with Outsmart last year, we also pointed out that a lot of the pages had the same content. The same information was interesting to their readers as were to the readers of the magazine, and it just didn't make sense to have two separate publications going out. we were able to come together and work together this year, and they put together a beautiful magazine. I'm really excited about what they have. So any information, there's a great calendar of all the different events coming up and all the different things going on in Pride Month. I recommend you go out there, take a look at it.
I have to commend that OutSmart does a great job in finding out all the other events that are associated with Pride during June. All the different organizations that have either fundraisers or educational events or entertainment events. It's really something that Smart does very well, because there is more things beyond just the parade and the festival, which of course are very big events, but there's a lot of other events put on by community organizations.
Speaking of which, we even have some.
Good
segue. And what may they be?
One of them that's ever popular, it is now in its third year, is Pride Idol. And that's going on over at Guavalamp every Thursday night at 10 o'clock. We're down to our final six.
Yes, Joey was asking me to plug that tonight. So they're down to the final six, and it's every Thursday night?
Thursday night at 10 o'clock at Guavalamp. And, there's... And for people who don't know, that's over at 570 Waugh Drive.
Oh, my God, who doesn't know where
I know, but I've had people ask me. There's probably a map in that magazine, too. So.
Just follow all the homosexuals on Thursday night.
The other thing that we have going on is a new event for us is actually called Dine Out with Pride, and it's a fundraiser where restaurants have signed up, or a restaurant, it's actually Joe's Crab Shack, has signed up to give a portion of the proceeds on Wednesday, June 24th from 5 p.m. on through the rest of the evening. And it's any Joe's Crab Shack that you go to. You can actually say that they're dining with Pride. But the big one that everybody's going to go to is 610 at Kirby.
Mm-hmm. That will be the one, yeah.
Then we have to mention Out at Tuts, one of our great sponsors. We're having a Pride Out at Tuts night on Thursday, June 25th. That's going to be, it starts at 8 p.m. So go to tuts.com/out for discounted tickets.
And that will be cabaret.
That is cabaret.
Could there be a gay show? I don't know.
Yeah. Then the week of Pride. So that's the week of Pride. Afterwards, after Out at Tuts is Pride Idol from 10 to 11. And that's the last Pride Idol before actual Pride. I think we get to the final two at that point, and then the winner or the winner there.
Now, Mr. President.
I'm
just picking on you.
He's going to pick on me about some of the details.
So you should attend both
Thursday Pride Idol, and then Friday night we have a fashion show over at Meteor, and then on Saturday is the festival and parade. So we'll just roll right into the weekend.
One of the organizational things I wanted to ask you about is you got a new office, right?
We did get a new office. We've moved into the community spaces over at the Montrose Counseling Center, the first floor there, and that is also where we're having our mandatory parade meeting tomorrow night.
Mandatory.
That's at 7 p.m. on the first floor of the Montrose Counseling Center. One of the things that space has actually provided very well for us is that Pride during the week has just a few people. That there's probably 10, 15 people that are in and out of the office each week. And then we have our production team meetings, which are much larger. And then we have general meetings, volunteer meetings, and these events that ramp up right at Pride. And that space really lends itself very well to us to allow us to rent just the space we need. And then as we need the other meeting rooms, use those meeting rooms.
So everything happens
really nice.
At that space, everything which is at 401 Bernard.
401 Bernard, yes.
And it's a beautiful, beautiful space. They did a great job with that. And in the hallways, they have all this history of the community, which is really neat to see.
They do, and right now they have Pride history, which is really kind of interesting. I was meeting with some of our sponsors this week, and they saw all the different T-shirts and different things that screens from the T-shirts and stuff all along the halls. And they actually thought we put it up, and I got to share the that was actually another organization.
A plug for GCAM.
Yeah, it's GCAM putting that on for us.
I'll check that out tomorrow.
Well, it's great that everybody's working together on this, and let's talk a little bit about the festival. It's grown.
It's grown just a little bit. We had aspirations of growing it a lot more, and then we scaled it back due to the economy and probably some ambitious eyes in growing it. But it has grown bigger than it was last year. There's a couple of things back that haven't been there, and some new things. So the big thing is the Health and Wellness Pavilion, sponsored by Walgreens, is back. And there you'll be able to learn a lot about and interact with a lot of different health professionals. There's a legal clinic, and that's being put on by the Stonewall
Lawyers.
Michael's going to kill me because he's on the board and he's part of that.
Oh.
So, getting all the little names right. But he's done a great job of putting that together, and they're sponsoring a part of a tent that you can actually go and get free legal advice for the day. And they'll have a series of different lawyers there to speak about the different issues that affect the community. And then we also have our history tent.
I love the history tent.
Which will be a nice... It's actually... All of it is one very, very large tent that is then going to be divided inside for the other two pieces. But it's all air conditioning.
Air conditioning. I love that.
So there will be lots of air conditioned spaces to cool off and see and learn and do.
And what is the cost of the festival?
The cost is free. The second year now, it is absolutely free to the public. We find that the community we're trying to serve and everybody's there for the parade, it just makes sense to give them the ability to walk along the festival and get access to the organizations that are trying to be there for
them. Well, kudos to Pride for making that free and accessible to our community. I think that's awesome.
Great. So are you still looking for volunteers?
Absolutely.
Oh, good plug.
We are absolutely looking for volunteers. They're this Saturday and next Saturday from 10 to 2. There are work periods over at the Pride office for 401 Brainerd on the first floor. You can just go right on over, go to our website, pridehouston.org, and sign up to volunteer. All of the above. The other thing, there's still opportunities, plenty of opportunities to still become a friend of Pride. And Friend of Pride is our individual contributors. There's actually two ways this year to contribute to Pride. One is Club 5000, which we just asked you to give $5 or more, and that makes you a member of Club 5000. That campaign is coming along quite well. You can do that right on our website, or you can also, if you can spare a little more, we invite you to be a Friend of Pride. Friend of Pride has a few benefits. They're all listed out on the website, but two key ones are the wine tasting event, which is coming up June 20th, which is a very nice event, wine tasting and food and socializing with friends, and then also the VIP bleachers that are at the parade.
And as a former Friend of Pride, I have to give a testimonial that the bleachers are where you want to watch the parade. I mean, you're up above everything near, you know, kind of the judging stand, and there's special bathrooms.
There's air-conditioned bathrooms.
Open
bar.
There's a bar right there.
And
you know, and it's just a good place to see everything and kind of be in the heart of all the action. And although the walking around the parade may be fun, it gets kind of sticky and kind of gross. And sitting in the bleachers,
you can always walk out and walk along and then come back.
Well, yeah, so. But I mean, to sit in the bleachers is special, and I think
definitely,
if you're going to watch the parade, that's the place to do it.
There's also with Friends of Pride at once you get to some of the higher levels, there's actually even reserved parking places.
Ooh.
Parking's always a little bit of a concern.
Yeah, So
lots of fun benefits.
That's
great. So it looks like it's going to be another exciting year.
We're excited
celebrating the 40th anniversary of Stonewall, which is a great milestone. And anything else you want to tell us, or is
I hope I hit it all.
Well, that was a lot of information. Now, you mentioned the website. The website is
pridehouston.org, and yeah, we are blessed with a great web team that has been updating. And on our website, there's also lots of ads and links to our different sponsors. I recommend that you go out there, link through to them, and please support them, because
show some love for those
they're games. How we can do this, exactly. And keep the prices down low where nonprofit organizations can really participate.
Now, how many people did y'all have last year estimated?
It was estimated at over 250,000 people at the parade and over 75,000 people at the festival.
Is that a record for attendance? That seems pretty high.
Sure.
We could make records. It's always bigger and better.
You know, 250 is huge. Because I remember
a couple of years ago, it was like 150. Was
especially
like,
since they all come on a Metro bus, you know. Brad Odom is president of Fried Houston, and we're going to be continuing. Next week, we hope to have the, we should have the male Grand Marshal, James Knapp.
Excellent.
And we're going to be talking about Pride events, and of course, we'll be doing a another segment on Pride on the week of, and then doing a wrap-up on the week after. So Pride is really important. KPFT plans to also be part of the Pride Parade, as they usually are, and if you're interested in getting involved in that, or just joining KPFT, and there, I'm sure there's many other organizations that would love to have you in the parade with them, because they're always looking for people to show off how great they are. And that's what's great, that Pride brings all these different community organizations together. So the date of the parade is...
June 27th. Come on, Mr. President.
And same day of the festival. The festival starts at 11 a.m. The parade starts at 8:45 p.m. sharp.
Always on time. That's put your clock to it.
It does start at 8:45 sharp. It gets to Montrose and Westheimer about 9:15. It's over at... it's intended to be over at 11 if we keep all the gaps going and everything going well. From 8:45 to 9:15... In the area between Montrose and Commonwealth, there's we'll actually DJs. We'll have other types of live entertainment to kind of help while we're waiting for the parade to get down there. So get down early.
Great. So we'll all see you there at Pride. You're listening to Queer Voices.
It takes a lot to love another, even more to set them free. Even whores can fall for someone. Maybe someday you'll fall for me. And there are times when I'm blind, other days the prophet's mine. We are masters of illusions as we shelter our desires. Well, I'm not trying to tell you where you ought to go. I'm not trying to tear you down. I'm just speaking from my heart. I'm just speaking from my heart. So come on, mothers of the young ones, come on, fathers of the world. Tell them go and search for someone. Tell them one day return to me. Well, I'm not trying to tell you where you ought to go. I'm not trying to tear you down. I'm just speaking from my heart. Just speaking from my heart.
Title of that song, For Someone. The artist, Jake Walden, and the CD that that's from, Alive and Screaming, 2008. This is Queer Voices.
Yes, and we're here with another...
This is Brian Levinka.
Oh, and this is Jennifer Renee.
And we're continuing our kind of...
with fabulous people.
Fabulous people. And kind of a pride theme, but more for the younger demographic, I think. The Hatch Prom is coming up.
Yes, it is.
And in the studio, we have the fabulous diva herself, Sally Hufford. Now, I hope that your voice is better this time.
Much better. If there are any regular listeners and heard me the last time when I could barely speak, it's back. My voice is back.
It was bad. No, it wasn't. It was just strange.
A little raspy.
It was a little sexy rasp.
Yes.
So, the Hatch Prom. Now, tell us what, when, why.
What does Hatch mean, anyway?
Well, Hatch used to be an acronym.
Okay.
It isn't anymore, but it used to stand for Houston Area Teen Coalition of Homosexuals. We hear that a lot still in the community, that people spell that out, but one of the reasons why we don't use that anymore is because the youth themselves find it to be entirely too limiting, because it, you know, is pretty exclusive saying homosexuals, and the youth today identify in so many different ways that we just use Hatch. I mean, the branding is so positive and so well known that we keep Hatch.
Oh, yes.
Hatch.
It's very positive.
Ooh, hatchlings and everything.
Yeah, they like to be called hatchlings.
I think that's so cool.
Yeah, but they don't like to be called kids. They're Hatch Youth.
Hatch Youth.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure they're very progressive and diverse and open-minded and so wonderfully, like...
Yeah, I have to tell you, first let me just give you the basic rundown about the Hatch Prom. It's coming up. It's the 17th annual Hatch Prom, and it's coming up on June 12th, this coming Friday, from 7 to midnight. It's also going to be on the first floor of Montrose Counseling Center, 401 Brannard Street.
You have a big community room, don't you?
That's exactly where it's going to be. So,
as we heard in the last segment, a very nice facility.
Thank you very much. So it's going to be there this year, and so we're really looking forward to that. And one of the great things about it is that it's free for youth between the ages of 13 and 20.
You can still go then.
Oh, no. Oh, those days have passed.
Never mind.
But one of the great things about the prom is
that... I have a pair of shoes that's 20.
Yeah.
One of the great things about the Hatch Prom is that even though we do this event for the youth, actually, and there's a prom committee, the youth do it for themselves as well, but we open the prom up for adults too. So anybody who's over the age of 21, we ask for a donation of $25, and you can come to the prom and you can relive that experience that maybe you
didn't get to. I never had that, yeah.
Yeah, maybe you didn't get to go to your prom, or maybe you went with, you know, your favorite beard.
I never got to go to the prom dressed the way
I did.
I
go with the beard, and she tried to get in my pants, and I'm like, oh no, this isn't going to happen.
Yeah, and the same is not going to happen at our prom. No. So I'm just going to let you know we have adult chaperones that are going to be there. So
that's a great idea for people to relive. You know, and I understand the theme has a flashback.
Yeah,
component.
This year's theme is flashback to the 80s.
Yeah.
So every year the 80s. Youth, they have a prom committee and they come up with a theme. Last year's theme was Hustle Down to Funky Town, and it was a 70s theme disco. And this year it's an 80s theme, and so...
I can see the parachute pants and the skinny ties.
Right? Well, that's one of the great things about the Hatch Prom, is that you can dress the way you want to as long as it's street legal. So we have people in everything from... you know, T-shirts and cutoffs, or, you know, tennis shoes, that kind of thing, all the way up to full formal wear. I spoke with the people over at GCAM, and, you know, they have that earthquake closet. And so even the youth that are looking to either dress in drag or wear a gown, they have over at GCAM this closet of formal wear, things that, you know, drag queens have worn, and, you know, a drag queen can only wear something once. And
absolutely. So, can only be seen in something
exactly.
once.
Exactly. So there's a lot of stuff there, too, for the youth. We always love it when it's baby's first drag.
Aww.
And so it's adorable when they show up and they're wearing their full drag, and it's the first time they've done it, and of course they've got the high heels on.
Oh, and they're just stumbling down the hall.
I know, and those high heels come off within the next, you know, hour or so, because it's brutal.
And then they realize...
Well, they obviously didn't get in their mother's closet at a young enough age.
There you go.
Well, I guess some of them aren't as privy to, I guess... getting in the closet and coming out, you know. I don't know. These days, it seems like people are more apt to kind of try it out.
I think so, too.
Well, and that's one of the things, you know, we were talking about earlier about, the change and not using the acronym and kids being so progressive these days. You know, it used to be at the Hatch Prom, we choose a prom court. The youth themselves choose, you know, they have a ballot and they select who they want to be their prom king, prom queen, prince, and princess. And they get tiaras and crowns and the whole shebang. And it's wonderful. But in the past, it was pretty regimented in that the young women would be eligible for prom king and the young men would be eligible for prom queen. And it was very gender-based how that kind of fell out. And this year, we've got both men and women in some of those categories. And so it's really kind of neat to see that how fluid it is for these youth.
Yeah, I was going to say the gender fluidity.
Exactly.
Yeah,
So that's kind of exciting to see how that kind of changes over time.
Now, how many people do usually attend the Hatch Prom?
We've had anywhere from, I mean, we usually anticipate about 150.
Wow.
Can go up to about 200. So, I mean, you know, one of the great things about it is that we try to replicate a prom experience as much as we can. So we have a photographer there that will photograph the youth. We have food that's donated from a number of, you know, caterers and local restaurants and that sort of thing. So the kids get food, they get to have their picture taken, there's going to be a DJ playing music, there's a dance floor, so as much as we possibly can, and that, you know, the youth come up with their own theme this year. It's, you know, flashback to the 80s, so it'll be decorated, you know, and if you can even stand it, you know, flashback to the 80s, so. And some people will dress, you know, in 80s garb. Some people will, like I said, dress in jeans and a T-shirt. And some people in full formal wear.
What did kids wear in the 80s?
Well, I think the people that
Flash dance.
Coming to the prom.
Oh, yes. Ah, thank you.
I'm sorry.
I just needed to know that.
Yeah. Absolutely. Fame was on the other night, and it was like all 80s and all the big hair and everything.
Yeah, so,
yes.
Big hair, big, like, clunky jewelry, and the Madonna look, if you recall, that was really big.
Okay.
So, and then the very narrow ties.
The skinny ties.
Certainly you remember the Frankie Says Relax T-shirt.
What about the Z Cavaricci pants?
What about the cutoff, the shirts, the muscle T-shirts that had, like, the red... they had the, why can't I remember, the Japanese flag, and then they would wear the headband. The headbands. Headbands.
Oh, yes. Now, I've got some.
Let me ask
somewhere
you, Sally.
In the closet somewhere.
What are you going to wear?
Actually, I'm not going to be able to make it this year.
You're not going to make it.
Oh, I have a previous engagement.
Uh-oh.
Oh,
so,
may we share
she
on
the
has
radio?
A relationship.
Yeah,
she's
I know. We can
move.
Okay, we can't talk about that.
No, that's all right. Okay. I actually have something going on during the day that's going to take me through.
Oh,
so,
well, I'm sorry to hear that.
Unfortunately, I won't be able to make it. So, it's really disappointing because I have a blast at the prom.
So for people that are listening that may not be involved with Hatch, how can they get information about the prom?
They can find out information about the prom by going to www.hatchyouth.org. Or they can call the Hatch line at 713-529-3590.
Yeah. And so if you want to be a hatchling.
So can people just show up that aren't in Hatch and go to the prom?
Mm-hmm. If they're between the ages of 13 and 20, they're allowed to get in for free. And if they're
and a donation for anybody over that?
$25.
Just come and enjoy.
Which isn't bad considering that, you know, there's going to be food and music and dancing and all that. And it's a great opportunity. Like you said, you know, you weren't able to dress the way you wanted to at your prom. You may not have been able to attend it at all. Maybe you couldn't bring the date that you wanted to bring to the prom. Or maybe you're in a long-term relationship and you're thinking, well, that might be kind of neat. I would like to go to a formal event.
Our proms now are like black ties.
Well, and yet a lot of people will be wearing black ties.
Yeah,
so.
No, I'm kind of jealous that we did that. This is something now that they have,
and David could go this year, this coming Friday.
I have other plans at night too. I'm trying to raise money for someone that's running for office, so you know, I have my own little thing going on.
So, but I wanted to talk about a couple of other things.
Yes, let's talk about this. You've got plenty of time.
Oh, I just wanted
for
to
you, Sally. Just go ahead.
Sally, we'll reprogram the whole show.
We've expanded Hatch in this last year to include Tuesday nights. And so I wanted to...
What happens on Tuesday night?
Well, you're going to be really happy about this, Jennifer. We have a trans support group for trans youth.
Oh, really?
And so, yeah. And it's on Tuesday nights beginning at 6 p.m. It's an hour long. Hatch is open on Tuesdays now from 5 until 9. At 6 o'clock, there's the transgender support group, and at 7 o'clock, they have a writers group. So some of the transgender youth stay and participate with the writers group. So it's really a great opportunity, and we have a couple of transgender facilitators that come in and work with the youth. So it's very exciting. So we have Hatch meets now on Tuesday nights from 5 to 9, on Friday nights from 7 until 10. Am I saying that right? 7 till 10. And then on Sunday nights from 6 until 9. So it's meeting 3 nights a week now.
That's so good, because there was never anything to support when I was struggling with my own feelings inside. There was no place to go, no one to talk to, and it's so wonderful. I acknowledge you for this good work that you're doing.
Well, one of the great things, too, is that the Hatch Youth themselves have a segment on your sister show, After Hours, on the first Saturday night of the month, and so on that night people can tune in and listen to the Hatch Kids. I'm sorry, the Hatch Youth.
Oh.
The Hatchlings.
I like Hatchlings.
Well, we would love to invite them on this show.
Yes, extend the invitation and see if they would like to.
If they're out there listening, please come on our show, and we'd love to have you.
I will let them know. They'll be thrilled.
Yes.
Absolutely thrilled. So, and of course, the Hatch Youth have their own entry in the Pride Parade. I know the previous segment was very Pride-oriented, Pride Parade.
Pride Parade, yes.
So they have their own entry. Montrose Counseling Center has its own entry. So we actually have two entries in the Pride Parade, and so we're looking forward to that. And
now, are you going to be on either one of those floats?
I will be with the Montrose Counseling Center float. Usually we're back-to-back in the Pride Parade, so which is really nice and convenient, because then we can have a cooler of water for both groups. but we usually get a really heavy turnout. This year we decided, though, to go a little against the grain, and we're not going to have parade throws. So we're just...
You're not going to toss the beads.
We're not going to throw the beads this
year.
People
go crazy for those beads.
Well, and that's one of our concerns, particularly when it comes to the youth. And so we wanted to add another measure of safety, because that's really important for us to offer to the youth. And so instead of having the crowds kind of rushing into the street, even though I know Pride has a lot more barriers that they're planning this year and so forth, and that's really great in terms of offering protection. But because we do take responsibility for the youth when they're out on Pride, we do want to make sure that everything is as safe as possible. So this year we are going to try to go without throws and see how that works.
And you're kind of talking about the Montrose Counseling Center. Did you get a good response from the Montrose, Texas video that was on TV last week?
We got a fantastic response. We are very excited. It also aired this last Sunday, and it's going to air this upcoming Wednesday at like 3:15 in the morning.
So set your DVRs. If you haven't seen it,
yes,
it's really
you don't
good.
Need to be. But if you happen to be up at that hour, you know, you can turn it on and
did
get to see
it. Did
y'all
see it?
Yes, I TiVoed it, so I could.
Excellent.
I went to the premiere, and it was fantastic.
So we've gotten a lot of positive responses. And in fact, one of the best responses ever was that we got a phone call on the next day from somebody who had watched the program and was interested in finding out more about Spry.
Oh, well, awesome.
So,
that is wonderful.
I mean, something that, you know, we couldn't have imagined in our wildest dreams, that somebody would have seen that and thought, you know, hey, you know, this looks like a program that might benefit me.
Well, Spry is so good.
And that's the power of media. And let's talk about Spry a little bit, what Spry is.
Well, Spry is, at the opposite end of the spectrum, the Hatch, which is the youth, 13
to 20. The Hatchlings, and then we have
Then we have Spry, which is the seniors preparing for Rainbow Years, and that's for 60 and older, which, by the way, we're doing some intergenerational stuff right now, which is very exciting.
That's crazy.
I know. We just got a grant from the David Bonnet Foundation, and it was to put together a cyber center. And so what that means is that we now have 4 computers that the youth are able to use that have access to the internet and that sort of thing. But it's also accessible for the Spry participants as well. So we can teach the seniors who may not otherwise have access to the internet, they may not have ever experienced the internet, and we can show them how to use not just the internet, I mean, use how to use computers, how to use, you know, Microsoft programs, Word for Windows, that kind of thing, set up email accounts so that they can connect with one another and connect with family and friends and so forth. So it's what a great opportunity.
And the youth are like experts.
Exactly.
Oh, so they could just like...
Yeah, we learn from them all the time. Are you kidding?
Yeah.
So
it's genetic with them.
I can't keep up.
There's the computer gene.
Yeah.
So we're very excited about that we have this new cyber center on the first floor in the Hatch space that's also being used by the spry adults. So that's really exciting. We've got so much going on.
Yeah, and it's all in one location at the Montrose Counseling Center.
And where is it?
401 Brannard Street. I never know how to pronounce that, if it's Brannard,
Brannard.
Yeah.
All different things. But.
So maybe somebody could let me know how that's officially.
I'm sure
it's probably named after somebody.
It's based on some community leader from long ago, and we just are not aware of how to say it.
But if they don't know how to pronounce it and don't have access, how else could they find you?
Well, they could look at us up online at www.montrosecounselingcenter.org. I think it's one of the longest web
addresses long.
Ever.
You just keep typing. Yeah.
You could go to hatchyouth.org and link back to Montrose Counseling.
And you have a Facebook page.
We do have a Facebook page, so check look for us on the Facebook.
Yeah, and if you're on Facebook, all you got to do is just do a search.
Do a search on Montrose Counseling Center. You will find us.
So for those out there listening that are of the ages 13 to 20, there's a wonderful event happening this Friday. And it's a flashback to the 80s.
Flashback to the 80s, the 17th annual Hatch Prom from 7 to midnight.
What started it all? I mean, this is the 17th. What started it 17
well,
years
you know,
ago?
It's, what's interesting, Hatch has been around longer than that, and it used to be its own standalone nonprofit organization.
Right, right.
It was started by a young woman over at a church, a local church, who felt that there needed to be a safe social space for gay and lesbian youth, and which is one of the reasons why it was Hatch, Houston Area Teen Coalition of Homosexuals. Of course, since then it's grown, and it's not just GLBT. You know, it's their allies, it's mm-hmm. their family members. So a lot of people come to the Hatch meetings now, and so that was started in 1987.
Wow.
So that's 22 years. In fact, I've run into adults who say, one of the people that used to be involved with the prom when it was over at the Magnolia Ballroom, Dwayne Ross, he was in one of the first Hatch groups ever.
Oh, my.
And
people my age were in Hatch.
Yeah,
so I kind of grew up with Hatch, too.
So you knew about it when you were
young.
Yeah,
young. Yeah. Well, in 87, I was in 7th grade, so I was like at that age.
Right, at that age, exactly. So it's been around for a while now. And I don't know, you know, what the genesis of the prom was, because that was one of those things that just migrated to us. So you know, we're continuing it and doing it every year.
Anything else you want to cover that we might have missed?
It depends.
I know you wanted to talk about some other things.
I'm sure there's
a spry. Anything coming up?
Well, I would like to mostly focus on Hatch, if that's... we do have a new thing in Hatch called Ask Allie. So it's kind of like Dear Abby, mm-hmm. but it's Ask Allie. And it's with Allison Vogt. She is...
Oh, I love her.
Yeah, she's our anti-violence specialist at the Counseling Center.
Mm-hmm.
And the youth are able to ask questions that they may not feel comfortable asking otherwise.
When is this?
It's in the Hatch room. They just drop it in a box... And drop their question in a box, and a lot of them are relationship related questions, not all of them, they can ask their question, and then Allison will respond by writing the response, and they're all anonymous, so nobody knows who asked the question, and then Allison will respond and leave the answers in a notebook. And I checked in with Allison earlier tonight, and I asked her, what are some of the questions that the youth ask? And she gave me a really good example. She said that one of the youth recently asked, if I'm transgender, female to male, and I have a girlfriend, does that make my girlfriend straight?
We'll have to cover that in another show.
That's another segment.
We're talking with Sally Heffer.
Thank you, Sally, and Hatch Prom this Friday.
This Friday.
Thank you.
Miss it. This is Queer Voices.
As LGBT activists wait for President Barack Obama to honor his campaign promise to repeal the U.S. military's Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy, an award-winning director explores the issue on public television later in the program. When she starts feeling engulfed by the mainstream, This Way Out commentator Janet Mason returns to an author who defied assimilation.
When I came out in 1982, I did so in the context of an alternative culture. I commenced on surrounding myself with a gay and lesbian community. I had a gay hairstylist and a lesbian chiropractor, doctor, and accountant. Nearly three decades later, now how did that happen? I find that I am now, if not entrenched in the mainstream, at least strongly represented. Just looking at TV, that barometer of American life, I find that there are not just a few lame sitcoms, but, in fact, an out lesbian who is an established financial advice guru, another out lesbian who has a nightly political commentary show, and an entire LGBT cable channel. In my own life, too, I find myself becoming more assimilated. It's not just about being gay anymore. It's about being gay in addition to everything else that we are. Our legal rights have not kept pace with our cultural assimilation, but still, things are easier than they were. For instance, I find that I am much more comfortable being out in my place of employment rather than in, which unfortunately is not a choice that everyone can or will make. And I have noticed that others who are out in the workplace frequently bend over backwards to fit in. But as I move along in my journey of becoming more of myself, I am far more concerned with how to hang on to myself than I am with assimilation. It's easy to forget how we earned our hard-won strengths, and I find sometimes that it's convenient to even forget my own origins. One of the major ways that I have held on to myself is through reading and writing. There are many queer writers who influenced my coming of age, and one of the memorable ones is the late Audre Lorde, whose seminal book of essays, Sister Outsider, was reprinted by the Crossing Press in 2007. A self-described black lesbian feminist mother poet warrior, Audre died of breast cancer in 1992 at the age of 58. In 1990, just 2 years before Audre's death, I attended the I Am Your Sister conference, a celebration of Audre's life held in Boston. Audre was committed to showing others the way to their own powerful voices, and as part of this conference, I attended one of her eye-to-eye sessions that was based on her essay of the same name in Sister Outsider. I remember sitting in those sessions with other women like me, women from working class backgrounds who were able to, and in many instances expected, to hide our differences. One of Audre's most widely quoted pieces of writing reads, "My silences had not protected me. Your silence will not protect you." And while we wait in silence for that final luxury of fearlessness, the weight of that silence will choke us. As I sat in the eye-to-eye session talking with 20 or so other women, it felt like a new kind of coming home. So often we turn away from others who remind us of our own painful experiences. I found myself remembering another time when this was true. One night when I had just come out and was in my early 20s, I had gone alone to the lesbian bar in the city where I lived. Toward the end of the evening, I found myself dancing with another young lesbian. I liked this woman, or the little I knew about her. I liked the way I felt in her arms. But when I found out that she lived in the same tract house town where I had grown up, I backed away from her offer to go home with her. I could not conceive of going back to a place it had taken me so long to flee from. When I thought about where I had grown up, I thought about my girlfriends who had ended up dead or in jail. I thought about my two best friends who had married too young and were stuck in lives that were inconceivable to me. That night I turned away, but at the I Am Your Sister conference, I stayed and listened, I stayed and talked, and I broke my own silence. There is strength in memory. There is strength in knowing yourself and in speaking your own truth. As I turn back to the pages of Audre's essays in Sister Outsider, I pause to consider the hard questions that she once wrote to challenge us into being more of ourselves. What are the words you do not yet have? What do you need to say? What are the tyrannies you swallow day by day and attempt to make your own, until you will sicken and die of them still in silence? Perhaps for some of you here today, I am the face of one of your fears. Because I am woman, because I am black, because I am lesbian, because I am myself, a black woman warrior poet doing my work. Come to ask you, are you doing yours? This is Janet Mason with commentary on queer life and literature for This Way Out.
So, you don't want to miss a week of This Way Out's global news reports, being introduced to terrific new music by openly LGBT artists, hearing about a new hit movie even before the buzz begins. The answer is a subscription to This Way Out. You can have our programs on CD or audio cassette delivered right into your mailbox, and for much less than the cost of a newspaper subscription. For easy how-to information, just log on to thiswayout.org or email tworadio@aol.com. You can also write to us for more information at Post Office Box 38327, Los Angeles, California, 90038, USA.
Award-winning San Francisco filmmaker Johnny Simons is best known for films that deal with issues of LGBT families and children. He directed Daddy and Papa and Beyond Conception and co-directed It's Still Elementary. Our Steve Pride takes a look at Simons' new documentary, Ask Not, in which he tackles a different kind of cohesive unit.
We are here today in Times Square, New York, to say to the American people, this is an unjust ban that must end.
Don't ask, don't tell, to me, is the worst form of public discrimination in society today. It's the government saying to me that I can't serve in the military because I was born gay and I refuse not to be open about that. I refuse not to lie, so I can't serve my country.
I think the average American person has no idea what this is all about, that we are actually turning away thousands of qualified people.
The question is, do you believe that homosexuality is compatible or incompatible with military service?
Incompatible. Incompatible.
Open homosexuality in a unit setting is incompatible.
My name is Johnny Simons. I am the director-producer of Ask Not. The film is about the Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy in the U.S. military and what the experience is of gays and lesbians who are currently serving in the U.S. Armed Forces.
Why this story?
Because I felt like even though we have 65,000 active duty soldiers and other service members currently in the military right now, no one had done a really comprehensive feature-length documentary on the subject that I thought got at the discrimination and the underlying emotions that were associated with it. So I was really curious about what that was like. I wanted to show the American people 15 years later, since the imposition of the Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy, what that experience was like, especially while we're fighting two wars overseas. It also grew out of my own work, having made films about gays and lesbians dealing with family structures. And as parents, I was really interested in what other sorts of traditional institutions gays and lesbians were participating in that they weren't necessarily recognized at by the mainstream population. And the military really struck me, especially as true in that way, because of the Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy, people can't talk about it.
So how did you convince soldiers to talk on camera?
Well, the main person who participates in the film who is active duty and his face is blurred in the course of the film, he felt strongly that he wanted that his experience and the story to be told. So I didn't find it to be hard to encourage him to participate. And most of the people who had served and were now out were even more eager to have their stories told because they knew exactly how difficult it was and they wanted that whole experience to be made more public.
What surprised you?
I think one of the big surprises for me in making the film was that people in the mainstream didn't understand what the policy meant for the average American service member. They didn't understand that it meant that every reference to same-sex feelings or attraction or communication or anything like that could be, any of those things could be the cause for dismissal. And they didn't understand that despite someone's exemplary records as an outstanding service person, that wouldn't necessarily stop the military from kicking them out if they suspected that they were gay.
Has anything changed since you finished the film?
A couple things have changed. One is that a case that had been working its way through court was ruled upon. Actually, two cases were ruled upon. One found in favor of upholding the current Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy, and another supported the rights of a woman who was discharged from the military after serving for almost 20 years. So it's sort of unclear at this point from a judicial standpoint how these two differing cases will be interpreted. The law still stands. It can't be overturned unless Congress or the Supreme Court decides that it needs to be or that it should be. So fundamentally, nothing has changed, but there have been some interesting blips.
Why do you do what you do?
My original motivation for becoming a filmmaker was to create social issue documentaries about the gay and lesbian community. I think there is a tremendous amount of misunderstanding and homophobia and stereotypes that still exist out there, and documentaries are a great way to get people to see things in a new light. So, yeah, I have a pretty consistent thread running through my work. You know, it deals with different themes, but it all kind of revolves around that idea of how do we raise people's consciousness about the different ways you can be gay and the different ways that we continue to be discriminated against. I think one of the things I like about documentary is that documentaries don't make any bones about the fact that they have a point of view. Sometimes the point of view is more overt than in others. But, you know, for me, I make these films because I want to get a message out there.
So what do you hope the viewers take away from the film?
I'd like them to really give some more thought about the impact of the policy, what they can do about it. And I think also one of the things that I took away from making it was the experience of what does it mean for someone to actually go into the military and serve. It's not something that I've ever done. And I really hit me that in many ways serving, particularly in a combat situation, is about the hardest job there is. And to deny people the ability to be open about who they are and to get support from the people they most care about back home, it's really not fair. And it's especially not fair under the guise that what we're doing is fighting for freedom and democracy around the world, and we're not even necessarily allowing that to the very soldiers who are fighting that fight.
What can we do?
Contacting congresspeople is important, writing letters to the editor is important, and giving support where you can to people who are serving in the military. It's something that I think a lot of folks don't really think very much about doing. Talking to people who you know are in the military about this issue, getting this dialogue going about, hey, do you know anyone else who you're serving with who's gay, and what do you think the experience is like for them? Because ultimately, if the Defense Department and Congress becomes aware that your average enlisted person right now really doesn't care very much if the man or woman serving next to them is gay or lesbian, then they're going to get rid of the policy. That's been their fear, that we won't have a cohesive fighting force if there are gays and lesbians serving shoulder to shoulder with straight people. They need to hear from average enlisted folks that that's not the case anymore.
This has been a conversation with filmmaker Johnny Simons. Ask Not will air in the U.S. on the PBS series Independent Lens, Tuesday, June 16th. Check your local listings for times. This is Steve Pride. Thanks for listening.
From the halls of Montezuma to the shores of Tripoli, I have fought my country's battles. I have faced every enemy. I ain't scared of no Iraqi missiles. I ain't scared of no Russian tanks. If I'm captured and tortured, all they'll get is my serial number, name and rank. You know I'd storm Baghdad to kick Saddam's butt, swing to Havana, bring home Castro's beard, for my buddies throw my body on a live grenade. I guess I just don't know the meaning of fear, but please, 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 please don't make me shower with a fairy.
Two more scary fairies have been kicked out of the U.S. military in recent weeks. Iraq War Army veteran and Arabic language specialist Lieutenant Dan Choi received his discharge notice for coming out on MSNBC's Rachel Maddow show. Highly decorated 18-year Air Force fighter pilot and Iraq War veteran, Lieutenant Colonel Victor Fehrenbach, was booted 2 years short of qualifying for his military pension. Thanks for choosing This Way Out, the International Lesbian and Gay Radio Magazine. This week, Rick Watts, Tanya Kane Perry, Rex Walkner with Bill Kelly, Sherry Lund, Janet Mason, and Steve Pride contributed program material. Fred Small performed some of the music you heard, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out is underwritten in part by a grant from the Kicking Assets Fund of the Tides Foundation and through donations from our listeners. Thank you. Log on to thiswayout.org to support our work, hear our podcasts, or subscribe to CDs of our programs. To receive our weekly program email alerts, email tworadio@aol.com. You can also write to us at P.O. Box 38327, Los Angeles, California, 90038, USA. For Associate Producer Lucia Chappell and all of us at This Way Out, I'm Greg Gordon. Thanks for listening on KMUN Astoria, Oregon, 2HOT Cobar, New South Wales, WCBN Ann Arbor, Michigan, and more than 175 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. Stay tuned.
You have been listening to Queer Voices, heard each Monday at 8 p.m. here on KPFT, a publicly funded Pacifica Network station. Queer Voices is produced live in Houston with recorded segments from This Way Out, which is produced at KPFK in Los Angeles. Queer Voices executive producer is Jack Valensky. On-air voices are Glenn Holt, J.D. Doyle, Deborah Bell, Jennifer Renee, Greg Chapman, and Jack Valensky. Be sure to listen every Saturday night, Sunday morning at 1 a.m. for After Hours with Jimmy Carper. It's Queer Radio with Attitude. This is listener-sponsored and commercial-free Pacifica Radio, KPFT, at 90.1 FM, 89.5 FM Galveston, and worldwide via streaming audio from kpft.org. For Queer Voices, I'm Glenn Holt.
You listen to KPFT, you enjoy some of our fine programming, and you have done your part to keep us commercial-free by calling in a pledge of support. Hats off to you for taking that first step. But before you settle into that fantastic feeling, don't forget, you still need to send in that pledge of support to finalize your promise to KPFT. But be warned, that fantastic feeling will soon follow. Thanks for supporting KPFT Houston.
This is Avi O'Dune of The Last Poets, inviting you to attend Amandala Productions, Blue Notes Trio, Jazz, Poetry, and Visual Art, at Miller Theater on Saturday, June 13th at 8 p.m., featuring myself, Avi O'Dune of The Last Poets, and Inertia and Global Movement. This is a free event for the entire family. Once again, it is on Saturday, June 13th at 8 p.m., being held at Miller Theater. Hope to see you there. You're listening to KPFT Tuesday.
The free program you just heard was paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a KPFT member, we encourage you to join with us in keeping free speech alive by becoming one. Basic membership is still $35 a year. You don't have to, but you'll feel better. Thanks for listening.